Orson Welles once said, "A film is never really good unless the camera is an eye in the head of a poet." Well, this week in St. Cloud, we're in the midst of poetry all over the silver screen as the St. Cloud Film Festival takes us beyond the escapism of mainstream film and brings comedy, art, and documentaries together to show us the beauty of what folks from around the region can produce when they engage in an activity that they truly love. This is Jeff Carmack reporting on arts and cultural heritage for KVSE Radio. And in today's news feature, we're going to jump right into the middle of the St. Cloud Film Festival, which has been taking the stage at the Pioneer Place Theater for Monday and Tuesday of this week, and continues this evening, Wednesday the 19th, also at the Pioneer Place, with another 12 short films. And then the film festival winds up this Friday the 21st with an award show at the Paramount Theater, which will feature clips from nominated films, as well as a selection created by some of the kids in the area, as well as movies submitted to the 24-hour film project, also part of the St. Cloud Film Festival. Throughout today's feature, you'll probably end up hearing a little bit from some of the films, including what you're hearing right now, which is music composed by Cameron McKenzie for the movie Letting Go, which she also wrote and directed as well as starred in. But we'll talk with her a little bit later. We'll start off getting more information on all that the St. Cloud Film Festival has to offer by talking with two of the major organizers and board members of the film festival, John Scott and Jody Barth. So why don't we just start off, you guys just say who you are and how you're associated with the St. Cloud Film Festival.
I'm John Scott. I'm the executive director of the St. Cloud Film Festival. And I've been kind of in charge of collecting the movies, kind of getting the movies together, and setting up what night they go on, that kind of stuff. Do you want to introduce you?
Talk around the traffic. And I'm Jody Barth. I'm the executive administrator and married to John, and so we've been attending other film festivals for 5 years, and with John's involvement, having been a student at State, we have been really connected to the film community there, just really trying to bring together a group like we've seen when we've been at other festivals and enjoying film, which really we both have for years. Been lovers of film is really where it starts.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, and this is the second St. Cloud Film Festival that's come around, and this is taking place over the course of 3 days. 4 days. Well, yeah, 4 days.
So. Yep. We added a day. We got a feature documentary that was edited by a gentleman who was born in St. Cloud, Ben Gottfried, and we're going to air that on Tuesday night. We were originally doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Now we've added Tuesday so we could show the documentary in its entirety. It's called Go Ganges. It's about two guys making up the Ganges in India. So it's supposed to be pretty funny. I haven't seen all of it yet, but it's supposed to be pretty funny.
Well, how many films do you guys have, and what kind of films are they?
Well, I don't know. We've got about 35 films, maybe a few more, and they range from anything. You know, we've got narrative, documentary. We've got some experimental. We've got action, drama, comedy, monster musicals. Lots of stuff. Really, about anything you can imagine. We've got some time travel. We've got a bunch of stuff. So it's really we have a little bit for everybody. We've got, you know, minors making films. We've got a couple of films from a 14-year-old. And we've got a couple of films from some 8th graders or some 8-year-olds and about like 10 to 12-year-olds too. So, you know, we do have all varying levels of people who have made films. So we're really just running the gamut of what's made locally.
And where is this all going to take place then?
Well, we've got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Pioneer Place Theater, downtown St. Cloud. And then Friday, the award show is going to be at the Paramount. All the shows start at 7:00.
And the only way I can understand how the Ganges stream here in India is if I think about it as a god. Because if you think about God, you really can't understand it. And there are a lot of paradoxes that go unanswered. And that is the same thing with this river. The fact that it cannot be polluted, but it's full of pollutants. The fact that it brings it to the afterlife, but you throw garbage in it. The fact that it's endlessly beautiful, but endlessly disgusting at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of gross, you know, looking at it from our Western minds. you know, dogs chewing on corpses and half-burned bodies stuck on the sand. But if you look at it from the Indian's perspective, you know, this is the best way to let go of a family or a friend, to send them to nirvana. You know, it's beauty to them. So we just gotta let go of everything we know, live like the people do, and embrace these cultures, man. We can do this. I feel confident. Sort of. Except for the diarrhea, I need one of those man diapers.
Why don't you start off with, you know, what's your name and, well, you're from St. Cloud, and yeah, maybe a little synopsis of this movie that we just watched, Go Ganges.
Sure. My name is Ben Gottfried. Yep. I'm from St. Cloud, born and raised. I'm the producer-editor for the film Go Ganges. It's basically about two Westerners, fish-out-of-water story. They travel to India and want to travel down the length of the Ganges River and don't really know much about the culture or the terrain and get in over their heads a little bit, but it makes for a pretty good buddy comedy slash adventure documentary.
Yeah, they do have a bit of a camaraderie. They seem to roll with the punches, if you will. And but it's right from the beginning. They're just kind of like, whoa, what have we gotten ourselves into? And how did you become involved with the project?
Well, this is our third film that we've done together, venture documentary style like this. The first film I was put together with JJ through a mutual friend. JJ and Josh are the two subjects of the film, and I met JJ in Duluth through a mutual friend, and he was looking to shoot a documentary or a trip they were taking across Alaska by bicycle, and I just gave him some tips and agreed to edit that project, not really knowing who these guys were or if it'd be funny or boring or what, and it turned out to be a lot of fun to work on. So we got along well and produced two movies since then. So they're a pretty small scale crew for these trips. It's usually just the two of them with cameras. This time they brought a third guy, Dave, along with them to really be their cinematographer. So they're all shooting, but Dave primarily. And with that, they traveled with three cameras and a couple microphones, and that's really about it. And so initially they were trying to put together kind of a demo reel project, a kind of a pitch project to pitch it as a series, a TV series. And they brought it back and cut a reel and shopped it around a little bit. And at the time, nobody showed a lot of interest. They liked it. They didn't see how it might fit in their schedule. So they said, you know, we have 33 hours of footage here, and we think there's really a good feature story out of it. And so I got together with them and met with them, and we shaped it and cut it from there. It took about 6 months to work on.
As far as budgets go, this was somewhat, I don't want to say low budget, but it wasn't a very high end movie by any means. But how much did it cost them to put this together?
Yeah, so they've in this being their third movie, they've been able to be creative with getting some sponsorship, and they had some distribution money from their previous film, Paddle to Seattle, that was still coming in a little bit here and there. So they used that and just their own funds, and probably. I'm a little hesitant to say because I really don't have a strong number. But so all told, it was probably $10,000 to $20,000 they spent on this. And that was mostly travel and food, their lodging and their bike and or their rickshaw and rowboat. All of that was relatively inexpensive. So they tried to keep it cheap. And that was part of the fun of the trip, I think.
Yeah. The barter system as they went, you know, they're selling their rickshaw to get a boat, and you know the translation, you know, the or not translation, the you know, money exchange there. It's, you know,
right.
Get a boat for $150, you know,
and everything was negotiable, and they love to barter, and that's something that these guys weren't that comfortable with. So, but they managed. They got all the stuff they needed, and were able to swap it out for new modes of transportation as they went. So it worked out.
Cool. So if somebody wants more information on this movie, where would they be able to find it?
You can go right to the website, goganges.com. Their production company is called Dudes On Media. So you could go to goganges.com or dudesonmedia.com. Either place takes you to the same site. So, it was a lot of fun bringing it to St. Cloud. As I said, this is my hometown. So it's the first movie I had play here. So it was really great and really cool that there's the St. Cloud Film Festival here to support that. I think it's something the community really is needed and benefits from. So,
yeah, it was a nice crowd tonight. They enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
CD unknown. Yeah. And I guess it's kind of silly to expect that bam, you finish, and wow, you're going to have this incredible moment where everything makes sense all of a sudden. It'll come.
But hopefully something from this experience validates what we've done.
Maybe 10 years down the road, I'll be like, man, I was a dumbass. I'm lucky to be alive. All right, Dave, come with us.
Next, we're going to talk to some of the students involved with the 24-hour film project.
So, well, just tell me who you are and how you were associated with the film festival.
Okay, I'm Zill, and I was involved in the 24-hour film contest.
I'm Steve.
I'm also Steve. We're both named Steve. I'm Steve without the broken leg.
Well, how did you come about the idea for the 24-hour film fest? I mean, it was given to you, but what did you, how did you develop it?
I think we used a bunch of different pieces. Like, even one of the posters was given to us, and we incorporated their poster into a biological war symbol for our bomb. Otherwise,
how did we come up with the idea?
We brainstormed all night till like midnight the night before, and then we had it planned for the next day how we were going to film, what we were going to do. We did it all, and then it put it all together.
Gotcha.
The best thing about the 24-hour film fest is they give you a topic so you don't have to choose, and maybe they'll even throw in a little side kicker that you have to throw in, like we had to use a balloon somewhere.
How did you get into the parking garage to do that? You actually work there? Or?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do work there. So I had connections, which made it kind of nice.
Yeah, we got to use the office. It's pretty
cool. Yep.
So what are you guys' projects now? What are you working on? Anything in particular? Or any plans of working on anything?
Well, yeah, YouTube. We try to get as many YouTube hits as possible. Though I don't know the YouTube name, so just, I guess you'll have to just wish us luck.
Is that through the St. Cloud Film Fest, that one you're trying to get the YouTube hits, or you got other stuff up there?
Yeah, we have a bunch, but this was...
Well, like what? What do you got? What do you got going on up there on YouTube?
We went on a bike ride to get snacks, and we filmed it from beginning to end.
Snack Adventure, it's called. It's just comedy. There's one that Zill and Steve, Broken Leg Steve, did called 10 Things to Do with a Shopping Cart. How to skate like a pro in the winter.
Yeah, how to skate in 4 steps, I think it was, or something like that.
I guess getting out there and just trying to do something that is fun and gets a lot of YouTube hits.
Yeah.
The only important thing is
we all post them on our Facebook pages like numerous times, so we get lots of hits.
Awesome. Well, that's what it's about, getting stuff out there. So why do you guys make film then? How did you get into film? Why do you dig it?
Well, I'm a film major, so it's like kind of always been an interest for me. And for this contest, I just kind of dragged them into it.
And they're brother and sister.
Yes, fun fact.
And it's a lot of fun to do. It gets your brain going.
Right on. Well, thanks for talking with me.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC, and in today's news feature, we're talking with some of the filmmakers who have been part of the St. Cloud Film Festival, which has been going on the last 2 days, as well as this evening, Wednesday the 19th, at the Pioneer Place Theater. St. Cloud Film Festival winds up on Friday the 21st with an award ceremony and screening of various films at the Paramount Theater, and all shows start at 7. Next up, we're going to talk with another film student from SCSU, Tyler Borsch.
My name's Tyler Borsch. If you need spelling, last people did. TylerBorsch. I have 2 films hopefully playing tonight. One didn't go over so well last night.
Technical issues,
and it was PG night, so I was kind of worried about it. But I have a film called Birthday, and then my other film is called Recur. One was a 24-hour film, and then one I just worked on specifically for the festival.
So how long have you been in film then? You're a film student at SDSU, right?
Yeah, it's my fifth year this year. I went for business at first and then kind of got adjusted to the film department and all the professors and all the equipment, especially. Did me wonders.
I don't know. How was it? Is this your first film festival or have you had films elsewhere?
I also have films elsewhere. We do, well, I'm president of Cinescope, co-president, and every year we do a film festival on campus in February. And we present student films, so I've had mine in a couple of the student films festivals on in the PAC main stage.
Right on.
So it's a pretty cool experience.
So, yeah, what's that called, and how do people get involved with that?
The name changes every year. We've gone from Cinema Silence to Burlesque-rama to Cirque du Cinema. So it's a different theme every year. And, I mean, it's a generic theme that if a student enters their film, they don't have to qualify for the theme because the theme is already part of the film.
Gotcha. Right on, right on. And, well, what are you going to be working on next?
I have a new, I have a in-production film called Egg Beater. And it's kind of a soap operatic, anguish of a housewife who's fed up with her husband. So we all like to see feminine revenge films. So.
with, let me guess, an egg beater?
Yeah, a wife beater and then eggs in the wife beater.
Right on.
You'll see the poster. I'm excited that there's another film festival that John Scott and the rest of... I mean, people like in the film industry, well, not film industry, if you're talking about, like, Marcus Cinema and all that, but part of the student, you know, film revolution and underground, it's just great that everyone can get their point across, perspective, and, I mean, we'll see how the next years go, and hopefully it continues.
Cool, so what did you think of some of the other films from, like, last night?
The films last night were pretty decent. I liked, I definitely liked The Lie of Evelyn.
Yeah.
Or
The Life of Evelyn.
Yeah, that was pretty great. I did like Cameron McKenzie's work. I mean, she has some pretty inspirational things for the, I mean, for being 14 and all. I mean, it was pretty great.
Yeah, she was in three films and directed and shot and wrote two of them.
Yeah, and produced and all, everything like that. A couple of the films I was disappointed in, just because they were like bigger productions. The filmmakers weren't even here. They just sent it out from Minneapolis. And, I mean, they didn't really... I mean, I'm sure they cared that their films progressed and have gotten to this state, but, I mean, you have to have some heart in the presentation, the audience members, too, and take account the hours that other people worked into it this year, and kind of, like, excluding all past years.
Totally. Right on. Cool. Well, thanks for talking with me today.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
See you around here again, I promise you'll regret it. Now leave. Now! Now! The world is filled.
Next, we talk with a group that had a number of films in the festival who came down from the Fargo-Moorhead neck of the woods.
Our film is The Life of Evelyn.
And what's that about, then?
A young girl who's isolated from society and under a religious household meets a stranger with a deadly secret about her past.
So were you all involved in the process of putting this together?
Or? Yes, sir.
So what did you guys do with it?
My name's Jacob Hopkins. I produced and did assistant camera.
we're all involved in very long brainstorming sessions in pre-pro, like 3 months before this came out. Put a lot of our lives into it for our sophomore year of college, so we're excited to see it in a festival. And this, you should introduce yourself.
I'm Chance Cole. I came up with the script with help from Jacob and our cameraman Jared Myers. I directed it, and then I edited the film afterwards as well. So
I'm Keely Huso, and I assistant directed for part of it and did lighting, and then just took care of food and the child actors most of the time.
Smoothed out the whole process.
I just like to do whatever they tell me to do.
Well, sometimes you need that kind of extra unknown thing. This is, you know, who's going to take care of this?
She was invaluable. And then over there, we've got our actress.
Introduce the star of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm Cameron McKenzie, and I was Evelyn.
Right on. So have you guys been involved with films before? Are you guys film students, or...?
Yes. The three of us are all film students at MSUM. We're all in our junior year now. We've been making movies together since our very first semester. We all lived on the same floor, part of a school-funded like community. So we are all introduced to each other through that. And then we've been helping each other out, became really good friends, and pulled together some really good projects.
Cool. Now, let's see. What else would you guys like to say just about your film? Or, I mean, how long is it? Do you expect to do something else? What do you think?
It's 12, 13 minutes long. I would like for more people in like a short film circuits to see it or whatever. I just kind of want to get our names out there so that by the time we make the next big thing or whatever, people might have heard of us maybe because of this. So.
Totally. So what do you think of the film poster they came up with for you?
I like it. There's the watercolor one, and then there's the dark black and white one. Both of them I like. I'm excited to see which one gets more votes.
I like the other posters. They all look really cool too, and I'm really interested to see some of the films because the posters look really nice. So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, right on. Well, anything else you guys want to say about anything?
Make a plug for the school. MSUM isn't necessarily known for its film program, but it's a great opportunity for anyone just starting out and curious and wanting to eventually take it seriously.
Yeah, they do have a good program, and they have a lot of equipment. And
a lot of hands-on professors who are very good with the students and will help you out if you have a keen interest in the subjects and all that kind of good things. So.
Cool. Well, thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you.
No problem.
Right
on. And finally, we're going to talk with 14-year-old Cameron McKenzie.
The world is filled with liars.
Okay, so you've got a couple of films in the film festival here, don't you?
I had no idea, like, how many were in, so, yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
So where are you from, then?
Originally or right now?
Yeah, both.
I was originally from San Francisco, California, but I only lived there for, like, 2 years, and now I live in Fargo, North Dakota.
Okay, right on. So what got you into filmmaking, then?
Kind of Dr. Zhivago and the cinematography. It was just, like, amazing. And I watched that, and I kind of got into acting first, and then I always wondered kind of what went on behind the camera. So then I started doing that, and I said, hey, why don't I act and direct and do all that stuff? So that's kind of how it happened.
Dr. Zhivago, Siberia, Fargo.
Yeah.
Close.
It's related somewhat. Siberia, Fargo.
Nice. And about how long did it take for you to make your film?
It took me like 3 weeks to film it and like 2 months to edit it because I kept on being like, I'm going to edit it. And then the next day I was like, I'll edit it tomorrow. And that kind of happened. I'm sure everyone can relate to that.
Yeah. So you just got to jump in and get it done, but then you take a break, and then...
Bad procrastinator.
Totally. So, where did you, like, find your actors and all that? Or these folks you know, obviously, but...
Yeah, they're actually my family, and I was surprised that they actually agreed to do it, because my family's kind of, like, sit in the shadow, kind of... I'll just watch. But I actually talked my grandpa into doing it, so it's one of those kind of... happy things that you're like, yeah, I actually have a family who will do it with me. So I was grateful to have them to help me with it.
So what do you think your next film will be?
Well, I'm writing a feature film right now. I just starred in a feature, which is going all over right now. It's in film festivals. And I'm also writing a short because I want to do something quick so I can get it out there, but I also want to work on something. So, yeah.
So where do you think you're going to go to college at then?
I really want to go to NYU, like super duper bad. But I also like the West Coast because that's being where I'm from, kind of native. So I also want to be in California, but NYU is kind of what I'm kind of planned on right now. But who knows? It's like 3 more years. It can change.
And there you go. So anything else you want to throw out there?
To come to film festivals, anybody out there, it's an interesting thing, and try to make your own if you're kind of like on the border out there. It's really fun, and I did it, and I know I'll never turn back. So, woo!
Excellent. Well, thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Today is the first anniversary of the rest of time. Behold, Kronos, no, humanity's greatest creation. Time control. It is my honor to present Dr. Sullivan. Our objective is to find out how far we can manipulate time and the adverse effects it has. The experiment will begin with subject 026.
The St. Cloud Film Festival is an activity funded in part by grant from the Central Minnesota Arts Board through funding provided by the Minnesota State Legislature and the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. St. Cloud Film Festival also continues tonight, Wednesday, September 19th, at the Pioneer Place, starting at 7 p.m., with a plethora of more short films. And then on Friday, September 21st, the award show will be taking place at the Paramount Theater, also beginning at 7 p.m., with awards for 8 different categories, including the Best Day for Night Film 24-Hour Contest Winner, as well as the Under 18 Student Film. More information can be found online at www.stcloudfilmfest.com, or you can search on Facebook and get a listing for films and activities of all 4 nights by searching for St. Cloud Film Festival. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting on Arts and Cultural Heritage for KVSC. And I'm asking you to remember what Francis Ford Coppola once said. I think cinema, movies, and magic have always been closely associated. The very earliest people who made film were magicians. And this report was made possible through funding by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPRS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities.
Would-be time travelers are idiots, but it's hard not to feel sorry for them. There's always something tragic they wanted to reverse, never realizing the past can't be changed.